Hi, I'm Dr. Ali Benazir, author of The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible, the highest-rated dating book on Amazon for 4 years. This is a recording of a workshop entitled The Tao of Dating, The Modern Woman's Guide to Loving and Being Loved, recorded at the Magnesia Festival in Helsinki on Sunday, August 5th, 2018. You can find my books on Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. Can reach me at drallib@taoofdating.com. That's drallib@taoofdating.com.
Imagine it's a soft summer night in New York City. I'm visiting two of my college friends, Holly and Ariella, and we're in this beautiful outdoor cafe. We're sitting. Temperature is perfect, the food is great, and the conversation is flowing freely. Except that during the conversation, Holly's phone goes bzz, bzz. Then 2 minutes later, bzz, bzz. Okay, what is that? I don't know. And as we're talking, Ariella seems to have some kind of agenda. She's like, hey, Holly, tell them about your new boyfriend. She's like, oh yeah, I've got this new boyfriend, his name is Hans. He's so sexy and so handsome, he's an Austrian. He's a little bit of a starving artist, so he lives with me under my roof. But, you know, the sex is great, and I'm so in love with this guy. I'm like, interesting, okay. So Holly's like, hey, tell him about, Ariella says, hey, tell him about the time when your daughter fell down the stairs. She's like, oh yeah, a few weeks ago my daughter fell down the stairs, and she split her head open, and there was blood everywhere. And I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. So I called him. I said, Hans, I need you. And he says, oh, sorry, I'm afraid of blood. I'm like, what is this? So this guy is living under your roof, right? He's sleeping with you. And the one time when he can make himself useful, he doesn't show up. Interesting. So based on that alone, I said to Holly, look, this is not a good situation, right? So the least he could do is to be there when you need him. He's not even providing that. So perhaps you should consider dating somebody else, right? Oh, I'm so in love. So I realized, okay, this is not going to work. We need to use the nuclear technique here. So I said, look, you got two kids, right? A son and a daughter. They are looking at you. They are learning everything that you're doing from what you're doing. So they're going to see this guy and the stuff that he does, and they're going to go, oh, I guess that's okay. And when your daughter's 19, she's gonna date a guy just like him. So, ooh, that's not gonna be amazing. So this passes, and I'm thinking, of course, that's not gonna work, because if you are a self-help author, the last people that you affect are your friends and family. They never listen to you, because it's just me. But 10 days later, I get an email from Holly. She's like, Ali, thank you so much for the talk. I actually asked Hans to leave, and he packed his stuff and he left yesterday. That was great. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, and by the way, please don't tell my parents about this, because if you do, they'll kill him. But for the 18 months that we were dating, he was beating me up. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on here, right? This is a woman who went to Harvard University, so she's smart. She's a successful author, so she has money. Great family, nobody ever hit her. No history of trauma, nothing like that. And yet, here she was, stuck in a very bad situation, right? And it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, she was like that, or that's a special case, but I'm here to tell you that you know people like Holly. You are Holly. You are just, there's not all that much of a difference between you and her. We're talking powerful, gainfully employed people who can sometimes fall into these situations that aren't so good for them, but they can't get out of it, right? And I'd like to use the story of Holly to illustrate the purpose of men in your life. Mainly, we're going to ask, is there a purpose for men in your life anymore? Because we are products of millions of years of evolution, 2 to 3 million years of hominid evolution, okay? And during this time, up until maybe 5,000, 10,000 years ago, men had a very distinct and necessary function in your life. First, if there are tribes coming in and attacking, trying to take you away, because that's what they did, the man could defend you. Also, if there's a saber-toothed cat going, rah, he could defend you, go, boop, bye-bye cat. And you live, and therefore your genes make it to the next generation. Okay? That's good. That's how evolution works. So number one is protection. Number two purpose. Well, it turns out that throughout history, women actually provided most of the calories, 60% or more, by gathering berries, nuts, and things. And the men provided the rest. But that rest that they provided, that minority of cows, was really important because it was meat. It turns out that women lose hemoglobin every month. When you lose hemoglobin, you lose iron. And really, the only way to replace iron, if there is no kale or spinach, is meat. So there was no whole foods market then, so meat it was. The guy was absolutely necessary for your survival and for the survival of your kids. Evolution again. So number two is provision. So protection and provision. Number three, let's say you want to have kids. You need some startup seed for that. And a guy can provide that. Okay, so that's useful too. Let's call that procreation. And number four is if you have a kid and the kid has two parents and maybe one of them has a club and can defend, that's useful. The kid has a better chance of surviving. So that is protection. So four functions for a guy, right? A guy's useful. Number one, protection. Number two, provision. Number three, procreation. And number four, parenting. Let us fast forward to Helsinki, 2018. Number one, you look around. No tigers, no saber-toothed cats, no marauding bands of invaders. Don't need protection. Number two, Whole Foods, Lidl, Spar Market, whatever you want. Walk in there, buy the meat, leave. Don't need the provision. Also, you make your own money, so you don't need him to buy the meat for you. Although it's nice to go out for a steak dinner every once in a while, but you don't really need him for that. Number three, go to the sperm bank, get a vial, business done. Number four, do any of you know single parents? Nod your head if you do. Maybe you are a single parent. Is it possible to raise a kid by yourself as a woman in this world and have the kid survive? It is definitely possible. Whereas before, it was very, very difficult. Four functions that a man had that were essential. Four functions that went poof. What do you do now? So that's partially what this talk is about. The talk is also about some ways in which you can improve your chances of loving and being loved in your life today by doing certain things better and also not doing certain wrong things. And just so you know, my notes have disappeared, so I'm doing this all from memory. If I occasionally like stall for time, that's what's happening. Okay, it may look like I'm making a very profound pause, but really, I'm thinking about the next thing to say. Okay, good. So, Helsinki 2018, what can we do? So, if I may get technical with you for a second, because I'm a doctor, so I can talk about anatomy and things, let's talk about the vagina. Okay, so the vagina is what we call in medicine a virtual space. There is no space there to begin with. It's like this, okay? It's shut. Only upon arousal do you get the tissues around it inflating and whoop, becomes a real space. That is so it can accommodate certain things coming in, okay? You are literally letting a man into your life when you do that. And this talk is about that too, okay? If a man no longer has a real purpose in your life, you must do things to allow him into your life. You must make him useful again. Make men useful again. That's a good name for the talk, right? So how do you do that? Now, I know you are strong people. I know you are at least strong enough to take a door and open it for yourself. But you know what? If you let the guy do that for you, he's like, oh my God, I am useful. This is amazing, right? You all do yoga. You have amazing deltoids and triceps and biceps. I've seen them. I see them right now. You can carry your own bags. But you know what? Oh, honey, this bag is so good. Could you help? Yes, I can. All right. You have made him useful again. average height of a Finnish woman is probably 175. You can reach whatever you want, but you know what? Sometimes the high shelf up there, honey, can you help me with that? All right, good. Because that's what a guy wants to do. He wants to make himself useful, right? And if you don't give him something to do, he'll do something stupid, like, I don't know, go shoot a reindeer or something and bring you the body. It's like, what is this gross? What are you doing? Just go to the store, right? Hey, can I just move this rock for you? Okay, so the guy has all this energy. He wants it to be directed into something. So you can either let him go do something stupid, like drink and gamble, or you can direct him, okay? So you have the power to direct a man's energy towards his spiritual growth and your service. So you have to use that power, okay? That is your power to have and use. You may not think that this is a lot, the whole idea of letting him open the door, letting him buy you dinner, all these little silly little things, but it adds up. If you do that 10 times a day, that's 3,600 times a year, right? And that's little bits of practice, little bits of things. And he gets in the mode of knowing that he's useful and thinking that, hey, this man thing isn't so bad after all. As a man, let me tell you what it's like to be a man these days, especially in the era of Me Too. Who knows about the Me Too thing? Of course you do. Okay, good. So, on the one hand, the man is supposed to be the aggressor, right? We're supposed to say up to you and say, hi. You're kind of cute. Can I buy you a drink? Can I take you out? Okay? If I just sit there and do nothing, guess what happens? Nothing. Okay? No woman approaches me. It's my job. And I'm supposed to do that. If I'm on the dance floor and I don't want to lead, guess what happens? No dance. That's my job. I have to do that.
Have you gone out?
I've been here the whole time. So maybe yes, no. Why? Yes, I'm moving here forever. Okay, good. I have dated some Nordic women, so mostly from Sweden. And the first one, she was 19, I was 26. And it was very interesting. This is Boston, and Boston has some public transportation, which makes it very easy to get around. But if you go a little bit outside of the city, it's just buses, and the buses take forever. And who takes buses? I mean, come on, this is America, right? Cars! So I say, hey, I'm going to come pick you up at 7:30, be ready. She's like, no. What do you mean no? It's like, I'll take the bus. I'm like, why would you do that? It's like, no, I'll take, okay. And I heard in her voice, there was no negotiation there. She was taking the bus. She would not be served, okay? So that was my initiation into Nordic culture. And apparently it's still going on, yes? Okay, good. Let him pick you up. It's okay. If you're worried about your safety, I don't know, bring a club or something, but let him pick you up. Thank you. By the way, this is meant to be a highly interactive workshop. So I'm going to walk around, I'm going to look you in the eye, I'm going to have you write stuff down. Does everybody have something to write on? We have free pens in the back. Free pens! Okay. Yeah. And if you can find something to lean on, that's good too, because I'm going to be talking for 90 minutes. That's a long time, just like that. There will be yoga classes that will make you straight. This is not supposed to be one of them. If you want to lie down, that's fine too. I'll just come and stand over you and look. There you go. And we have at least one man in the room. Woohoo! Two. Okay, he works. He had to be here. High five. High five to the guy. Okay, good. Good. So where were we? We were on man. Yes, man. So give the man a purpose. So the dilemma is that on the one hand, we have to take the initiative. On the other hand, you have to be nice. You have to be civilized. You can't just grab her, throw her over your shoulder, and take her back to the cave. It's not done anymore, okay? So, on the one hand, you have to be the gentleman. On the other hand, you have to be the aggressor. Do you see that these are two exactly opposite things, right? You have to ask for everything, but you can't do it too harsh. So, a lot of guys, they're caught in the middle, and they don't really know how to be masculine. And that's what happens in a lot of Nordic countries. Denmark, Sweden, Iceland, Finland, and Norway. These are the countries that have the highest amount of equality between the sexes. And they say in Iceland, it's been achieved. It's like, boom, exact parity. This is fantastic because equality is good. But every problem you solve creates other problems. So when you have equality, now it's like, oh, they're equal, so they're the same. Not the same. So Taoism talks about yin and yang, and that's the idea of polarity. And energy flows in between the positive and the negative. So cathode and anode, you get electricity, right? Positive, south pole, north pole, you get magnetic flow of force. High, water flows down to low. That's how you get the flow of energy. And do you want energy with your partner, or do you want flatness?
Energy.
Energy, okay, there you go. Everybody say, I want energy.
I want energy.
That's so much better than yesterday at 4 o'clock. I don't know why. Okay, that's fantastic. All right, good job. So, energy is what you want. And you get energy through polarity. So, if the male has become feminized and the feminine has become masculinized, then polarity is gone. So, you must deliberately introduce more femininity into your life and also encourage him to be a little more masculine, okay? So, why don't you pick me up at 7:30? Woo, okay. So, yes?
Hi, my name is Ida.
Ida!
I read your book.
Oh, she read my book!
Yes.
Has anybody else read my book except for Retta? It's okay, it's far from Los Angeles, so it's fine. Yes.
And I was wondering if we introduce the Finnish guys this type, would you please do that for me? Would you please do that for me? And be masculine for me? Wouldn't they think that, oh, she's so princessy, she's not independent? Is she maybe not an independent woman? Is she not smart? What do you think about this?
Okay, is this a concern that a lot of you have? Okay, so I do not know what your experience is like a Finnish woman. Because I am not a woman, I am not Finnish. So whatever you say is true. Whatever you say, I'm eager to hear it. That said, this is a practice, and you slowly build into it. And what I encourage you to do is to focus on what you want, not on what you do not want. So you're focusing on him not thinking that you're a princess. You are all very far from being a princess, okay? You could try, and you still won't be a princess. So just... it's like saying, Dr. Allie, I've never run a day in my life. I'm afraid of doing a marathon. Yo, let's slow down, okay? Let's take some baby steps, and then we walk, and then we run. So start practicing. You'll be fine. And what you're doing is you're allowing the man to show if he has masculine essence. Can he lead, right? What you want to do, so this is the trick. What you're doing is you're actually starting with a little bit of the masculine essence yourself. You're leading. You're saying, hey, can you pick me up at 7:30? And then you step back and you see if he takes the lead, because that's what a guy is supposed to do. And if he doesn't, you're like, fail. Okay, let's try again. Hey, want to pick me up at 7:45? So it's just like the dance floor, right? So I had, I'll catch your question. So I had a girlfriend back in Los Angeles, and amazing woman, right? So she's like 182 centimeters tall, she's a veterinarian, great family, very wealthy, very educated, fantastic woman. And we go to a wedding once, and I say, hey, let's salsa. So I start to lead her in salsa, and she starts to lead me, and she can't salsa. I'm like, what are you doing? Okay, so she could not relinquish the lead. So what you want to do is, yes, you may be an expert salsa dancer, but you still have to see if he can lead, okay? Because if you lead, then that's your job. Then you're leading for the rest of the relationship. And do you want to do that? That's a question you want to ask yourself. So I'm guessing that you would like to be able to position of the feminine. And the divine feminine essence wants to surrender. That's the deepest expression of the feminine essence, right? And if you're constantly leading, it's very difficult to surrender. Who likes Shavasana? We love Shavasana. Okay, so Shavasana is the... so when you're doing Hatha Yoga, that's actually all yang energy, right? Does this look feminine to you? I mean, come on, right? Warrior, right? So when you finally release and give up, that's surrender. And it feels so good to do. You do 89 minutes of Hatha Yoga, masculine stuff, so you can finally have that last 10 minutes of surrender. And it feels really good. Yes? Am I making this up, or does it feel actually feel good?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to create that space. Okay, so, but first, you must know your value and your power. Okay, so I want to tell you another story. And this is the story of Heather. Heather is my friend's little kid. Heather almost didn't exist because she was a premature baby. She was born 2 months early. She was this big, 1 kilogram, fit in the palm of my hand. And people thought she was not gonna make it. People thought she was going to die. And that would have been very sad because it was their first child. And through some miracle, Heather actually makes it. And you know, you hold this kid in your hand and you think, oh my God, this is so amazing, right? Hey, who has seen a newborn recently? It looked in the eyes of a newborn. It's an amazing experience, right? It's like looking into the eyes of infinity. I mean, here's a child, started out as a single cell. One cell became 2, became 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024, 2000, 48, 4096, 8192, and I would have to go on like this for 15 minutes to get to 40 trillion, which is you, or a baby, right? 40 trillion cells, and they all work together. They become livers and kidneys and hair and beautiful eyes and all these things, and it works. It's miraculous. But Heather was a special baby. Because Heather, in those first few months of her life, she crossed streets 30,000 times without getting run over. Not only that, she managed to create the entire English language vocabulary and grammar in her head just by listening to grown-ups talk. Not only that, she used that language to go to school, get a degree, get jobs, make money, and come to this festival right now. You think that's strange? You are Heather. Every single one of you started out as that baby. But you're even more impressive because you have crossed streets 30,000 times without getting run over. You have learned the Finnish language, the most ridiculously difficult language on the planet, by the way, just by hearing these syllables wafting through the air. You have created a life. You have supported other people. You make money. You write things. You text people. This is a miracle, right? You are the endpoint of all creation. 13.4 billion years. You are a miracle. Don't you ever doubt it. If you've ever looked at a baby and thought that baby's a miracle, you're the even bigger miracle by a factor of a million, okay? That's you. And so you will never, ever let anybody treat you any differently than if you were a miracle. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. So Hans, no. No Hans, not allowed. No Hans is in your life. But another thing happens when you realize that you're a miracle and that you were one cell and you became 40 trillion cells. You realize that everybody else in the world is also a miracle, right? So if you look at that guy in the eyes and say, oh wow, this guy is also a miracle. This guy is the end result of 13.4 billion years of cosmic evolution. Then it becomes much harder to just go sweep in 0.5 seconds on that app on your phone. Because it's a human, it's a miracle, right? So, let's talk about selecting the right guy. So, what can you do a better job of selecting? I want to give you a couple of general principles, which I hope you'll find very useful. And principle number one is, you want to avoid the really, really awful guys. Specifically psychopaths and sociopaths. Because if you meet one of them, they could ruin your entire life, maybe forever, okay? They are powerful people. And why do I say they're powerful people? Because I would say 30% of the most powerful and well-known people in America right now are psychopaths. It's just the way it is. Psychopaths have no conscience. Psychopaths cannot feel empathy. Psychopaths run over people to get what they want. They just don't give a damn, okay? So, there is a psychopath test. There's even a book called The Psychopath Test. And ask questions from people like, did you torture animals when you were young? If you ask that on a date, it might cool off the general atmosphere of the date a little bit. Also, the guy might be onto you. He might go, ooh, that's a psychopath test question. I'm not answering that. Okay? So what question do you ask instead to get the information you want? You ask, oh my God, you know, it was so embarrassing to be young. I was in high school. I did terrible things. When was the last time you felt really embarrassed? Or was the most embarrassing moment in your life? Something like that, okay? Psychopaths cannot feel embarrassment. So when you ask that question, you then look. And then you're like, okay, does he have a reaction? Does the skin color change? Does he go like this, right? I'll tell you my embarrassing story. Back when I was in high school, I felt like I was some kind of hotshot. Yes, I was on the quiz team, and this is the final contest, huge room, people filled, all the parents are there, and they ask this one question about an American president, and I know the answer, and I get the wrong answer. Everybody's like, ah. You gave the wrong answer. God, it's terrible, right? Okay, so what am I doing? I'm getting small, I'm covering my face, I'm getting a little red, I'm having a reaction. Psychopaths are very good at faking emotional reactions, but they're not that good. Okay, so you ask them the embarrassing question, and then you look, and you see if you get a normal human response. Between 0.5 and 1% of the population are psychopaths. The rest are fine, but you want to find out if the guy is. And sociopath is very close to it. Sociopaths are people who basically use people as means, not as ends in themselves, okay? So if I'm going to be friends with you, what's your name? Kirsty. Hey, Kirsty, how you doing? Hey, you're so great, you're so fun. Hey, can you introduce me to Antti? Because he's really cool and he runs a record studio and I want to get a deal. Okay, that's using her, right? But if I say, Kirsty, let's go out for some drinks and get wasted and have fun, that's just her, it's her company that really matters. So think, is this person using me for me or for something that he can get out of me? Am I a means to an end or am I actually an end in myself? Okay, so that's how you deal with psychopaths and sociopaths. Okay, good. General principle number two. Let's say you have a coffee table, okay? Would you rather be in the position of selling the coffee table or buying the coffee table? So if you have a coffee table, you're like, hey, look at my coffee table. It's so cool. It's made of cherry. It has no nicks, no burns, no cuts on it. It's beautiful. It's great. Would you like to give me 100 euro for it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I've seen other coffee tables, but thanks. And you walk away. Oh, how about 75? How about 60? 50. Okay, fine. 50. Okay, so being in the position of the seller means that you have high power or low power? Low power. Okay, good. But if you're in the position of the buyer, right, that's good because then you have choice. You can negotiate. You can walk away. The problem in dating is that most people present themselves as the seller. Guys do all the time. Hey, look at me. I'm so well-dressed. I have these degrees. I'm so cool. Let me crack a joke. Hey, you laugh. This is good. Okay, so have you been on a date with a guy who does that? And he's like, let me tell you about how cool I am. I did this, that, the other. I have this car. And okay, it gets really boring really fast. So if you are doing that too, guess what reaction the other guy, the guy is having, right? Guess what position you're in? You're in the position of the seller. The seller inherently does not have that much power. This is game theory. You cannot fight mathematics, okay? Do not be the seller. Now, the thing is, you're always going to be doing certain things that a seller is going to do. You're going to put on nice clothes, you're going to put on makeup, okay. So we're not saying stop wearing nice clothes or show up with, I don't know, wearing a bag or something. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is be aware how much you're doing to sell yourself versus how much you're doing to just feel good. So if wearing makeup makes you feel good, do it. If wearing a nice dress makes you feel good, do it. But if it's to the point of, oh, I'm going to wear my special push-up bra to make this guy be dazzled because I am selling this piece, that's going too far, right? You are the buyer. So you have a one job during your date. And during your job, your job is to get accurate information from the guy. Who is this guy? What is he all about? And you do that by asking good questions. Hey, how you doing? How do you get along with your parents? Where are they living now? Oh, you never talk to your mom. Oh, you hate your mom. Oh, your mom hates you too. Oh, that's good to know. What do you do for work? Oh, you can't stand your work. Okay. Oh, you kill baby seals. Okay, good to know, right? So the point is you're getting useful information for the guy to see if he's a good fit for you, as opposed to, hi, oh wow, that's so funny, ha ha ha, all the time and trying to just charm him, right? Because if you're selling, you don't have enough brain capacity to actually evaluate the guy in front of you, okay? So, be the buyer, and the other thing that that does is it makes you interesting, because what makes people interesting is not saying fun things like, hey, let me tell you a story. It's being interested that makes you interesting. So just keep on asking the guy questions. And the main question that you were going to ask is what I call the golden question. The golden question is very simple. It's, what's important to you about that? Oh, wow, you like to collect baseball cards. What's important to you about that? Oh, wow, you like to go fishing. What's important to you about that? Oh, well, you know, fishing is so calming and it's beautiful out there and I feel like I'm one with nature. It's like, oh, okay, this guy's into that kind of thing. Good, useful. What's important to you about being one with nature? Oh, well, you know, the oneness with the universe, blah, blah, and spiritual. Okay, spiritual guy, this is great. So every time you ask the question, what's important to you about that, you get one more deeper level of values about the guy. You learn more about the guy, and that's what you want to do. Find out what his values are, okay? And then you have your values, and you see if your values match with his values. So let's do our first exercise.
I have a question.
Yes, yes.
I'm very good in asking questions.
Yeah.
And everybody just, they don't want to answer. Or if they answer, at a certain point, they just feel like, you know, this is too complicated, or am I asking something too deep?
Yeah.
So running into this problem of trying to, I'm very interested in people in general, and I'm running into this problem that they are just, some kind of, they feel awkward or something, they don't want to answer to these questions. And this might be exactly like, why do you like that?
Okay.
So how to survive that situation?
Okay, so what's your name?
Krista.
Krista likes to ask questions a lot, but she sometimes runs into the situation that people feel uncomfortable. So notice that the question that I gave you, what's important to you about that, is exactly the same as the one-word version, which is why. Okay? But why feels like interrogation. Why, right? Okay? So if that's what you're doing, people are eventually going to get defensive, like, oh, what's going on here? I didn't sign up for a job interview, okay? But if you're like, wow, that's so interesting. Can you tell me more? That's another version. Can you tell me more about that? Or just tell me more about that, right? One is in the spirit of open inquiry and curiosity, and the other one is like, oh yeah, why? So, and it feels different, right? So that's why I deliberately don't use why. You want to say, what's important to you about that? And tone also matters, right? If I say, what's important about that, right? Like, sorry. As opposed to, wow, that's so fascinating. Can you tell me more? And people are like, whoa, I'm fascinating? This is great. People will not stop talking about themselves once you get them started, okay? And I can tell you, twice in my life, somebody has said, you are the most interesting person I've ever met. I'm like, all right, cool. Except that during the 1 hour conversation we had, I didn't tell them anything about me. I was asking them questions the entire time. So it's funny how that works, but it's true. You had a question.
Actually, I had a comment to the priest.
Oh, okay.
I think there's a big difference between kind of calling you, requesting for stuff and being really demanding.
Yes.
That's a
good idea.
Stuff,
yeah.
Know, don't get something, but if, you know, if I'm asking for my husband, that, hey, can you please help me fix my bike? I think he doesn't have a problem doing it because I'm asking in the right way. I'm sure.
Yes. Context matters. So one thing. Thank you very much. So one thing that I didn't mention, and you know, I've been out with German women and Swedish women and Danish women, and sometimes the tone can be a little harsh, right? And demanding. So the softness goes a long way. And just that difference between why and what's important to you about that, that makes a big difference. And from now on, we'll use this modern device so everybody can hear you. Okay, good, fantastic. Any more questions before we move along? Because we're about to do our first exercise. It's a workshop, which means you have to work. I mean, fun, right? You're gonna do some fun stuff. Okay, so I said when you're asking the question why, you get into deeper and deeper values about the guy. So why does that matter? Because then you find out if your values actually fit with his. So, what are your values? I don't know. Let's find out. So, get a piece of paper out and write down a list of values that really matter to you. So, what are values? Values are things like joy, like exploration, like connection, like discovery, like curiosity, all these things. Oh, look, I found my notes. Ha! Okay. I don't even need notes. So let's see if we can find a list of values here. But write them down. Honesty, truth, something that drives you, something that makes your life valuable, something that, here you go, gives you fulfillment. So here we go. I'll just read some off and write down some of these that sound good to you. Autonomy, courage, excellence, fulfillment, abundance, family, harmony, innovation, love, playfulness, self-actualization, solving problems, beauty, creativity, excitement, fun, power, humility, helping, joy, mastery, revolution, creating change, caring, dignity, fairness, grace, kindness, education, honesty, justice, order, safety, service, synergy, wisdom, challenge, bliss, I like that one, learning, my favorite. So when you have five of those down, then look at that list and then pick, if you could pick just one and only one of those five, what would it be? Put a circle around that. And then once you've done that, look at the rest, and if there is only one and only one that you pick from among those, what would it be? Put a circle around that, put number two next to it. And then finally, look at the rest and see if you could pick one and only one out of those, what would it be? And that's your number three value. And when you have all three, raise your hand so I know you're ready. Fantastic. And we're going to start the sharing part of the workshop. Fantastic. So Valentine, would you like to share with you, with the rest of the group, what your values are? Oh, microphone, of course. Brilliant idea. Voila.
Honesty.
Does anybody else have honesty on the list? All right. Honesty is a crowd favorite.
Mutual growth.
Okay. Good.
And playfulness.
Fantastic. Anybody have playfulness? Fantastic. Okay. Good. Give a hand. Who else would like to share? I know in Finland people don't do the sharing thing in public, but humor me. Imagine. Okay. Who else has a list? Yes. Your name?
Sophie.
What do you got?
I have gratitude.
Gratitude. Love. Who's got gratitude? Raise your hand. You got gratitude? Bunch of ungrateful. Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
Love and health.
Love. Who's got love? Yeah. Love is a crowd favorite. And what else? Health.
Health.
I think health should be on everybody's list. Okay, fantastic. Give her a hand, Sophie. Who else? You look great.
Sure.
All right. And your name?
Thank you. I'm Salamari.
Salamari, okay.
So my first one is respect.
Respect.
And then the second one is definitely curiosity.
Who's got respect? No respect? All right. R-E-S-P-C-T and curiosity. Who's got curiosity? Yes, we got that. Good.
And the third one is self-reflection.
Self-reflection. Good one. You're a big hand. Okay, good. We have one more share. One person wants to share. Yes. Okay, good. So, moving right along. So now you have your top three values. What are you going to do with this? What you're going to do is you're going to keep this in the forefront of your mind. Maybe you write it down on a piece of paper and you put it in your purse. Maybe you think about it. Most important, what I want you to do is to think and feel these values every time you go into a new interaction with a man. You go on a date, you do something, or even if you have a partner, think, okay, self-reflection, love, respect, this is what really matters. And you evoke them in your body, because what happens, and the reason why people end up in bad relationships is because they forget their own values. Why? Because of love. Okay. Love is the enemy. But no, it's not love that is the enemy. Falling in love is the enemy. Why do I say that? Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation, and I want you to give your honest answer. How many of you think it's a really good idea to go out, you know, on an afternoon, maybe 3 o'clock, have a bunch of drinks, get rip-roaring drunk, and then go buy the first car that you see. Who thinks that's a great idea? All right, who thinks it's a terrible idea? Put your hands way up. Okay, good. Okay, good. Marrying somebody because you're in love is exactly like buying a car because you're drunk. You're making a very big ticket decision under conditions of extreme logical compromise. Okay, so why do I say this? Because it's true. When you fall in love, your whole frontal lobe, the part that makes good judgment, goes, woo, shuts down. And it's like, this guy who beats me up and makes no money is amazing. What? Now, if I didn't know her for 20 years, I would think that, oh, this chick, she's just nuts, right? But she's not. She's really smart, really good family, no PTSD, nothing. So what happens is you just fall into this little hole, which is called love, and you can't get out of it. You can't see the rest of the world, right? So it's really important to feel yourself and know your own bodily feelings when you're dealing with someone, right? Alison Armstrong is a colleague of mine and a really good American dating coach and seminar conductor, and she says, you know that feeling of butterflies you get when you meet a guy and he's like really hot? That's your sign to run in the opposite direction, okay? So you're like, what? I thought the butterflies were good. No, the butterflies mean you're about to make some really terrible decisions. Okay, so what do we do? What do we do? So I say this stuff as if I am somehow immune from this. I am not. I have made very terrible decisions about these things. So we are all human. I'm saying this because I know we are all susceptible, okay? I walk down the street, I fall in love 12 times. If I followed up with those 12 times, that would probably be 12 disasters, okay? What you want to do is you want to get to know the person you're dealing with very well. So you know it's a good fit. It's all about fit, okay? So falling in love with someone and then hoping the relationship works out is like buying that used car when you're drunk and hoping it's okay, right? But going into the parking lot, checking it out, test driving it, right? And you have money in your pocket and you were interested in buying a car. It's not like suddenly you're buying a car, right? And then maybe later on, you come back and you get in it and you buy it. And then maybe you get drunk and then you go and admire it in your garage. That's okay. That's safe. Don't drive the car when you're drunk, buddy. Terrible idea. Okay? So the point is, do your homework first. Okay? Do your homework first. And love people first. So I came up with a definition of love because I'm making stuff up anyway, so might as well make this one up too. And I think it's useful because people have so many different definitions of love. But I want to make a distinction between loving and being in love. So loving someone is a very good idea, and it is a growing appreciation for a person's character as you create positive growth in one another, okay? If you can do better by yourself to grow as a human being than with another person, then you should be alone, okay? If that person gets in the way because he's a drug addict, he's an alcoholic, he doesn't have a job, he's always moaning, he complains about things, okay? He's draining energy away from you. You don't need that. Why? Because the world needs you, okay? That's the way I was finally able to get to Holly. Holly had a gift to give. She's an artist, she's a mother, she's a wonderful human being. But here's this guy who's draining her energy away and not letting her give her gift. So what she was doing was not just a crime against herself, which, by the way, was not enough to get her to change her behavior. What she was doing was a crime against the entire world, because the world needs you. You have a gift to give. 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 Maybe you're a great baker. Maybe you're an artist. You make great paintings. Maybe you're a sculptor. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you have some talent. And if there's any discernible point of living on this planet, it is to give your gift fully before you die, okay? Certain people will be catalysts. They will be enhancing your ability to give that gift. Other people, they'll be impediments. They'll get in the way of your ability to give that gift. I can almost hear myself here. This is amazing. Okay, so What you want to do is you want to pick the people who make it easier to give your gift and avoid the ones who get in the way. Okay? That is your selection criterion from now on. Okay. So, it is very much possible to fall in love with someone you already love and value. So, see if you can change that sequence and do it that way. Evolution is designed such that you fall in love first. And evolution is a powerful beast, okay? Evolution's job is to make sure the human species continues, and every other species too. Now, the other species, they just get it on, and then, you know, 6 months later or 18 months later for an elephant, oh, baby, where'd that come from? Who? We know how babies work, so you can have more choice in the matter. But all that evolution cares about is that you have babies. That's all. And so it makes you fall in love, which is this cocktail of chemicals. It's sort of real, but not really real, because it goes away after about 18 months on average. And there's a reason why it almost always goes away after 4 years. Because 4 years, that's the peak of divorce rates. So that's after marriage. That's when divorces peak. And evolutionary biologists think that's because a four-year-old kid is just old enough to fend for itself and survive. That's it. That's all evolution wants you to do. It wants you to have babies that don't die. And I think there's a bigger purpose for you. And also, when you do marry or pair up with somebody because you fell in love, the failure rate is very, very high. In the United States, people will spend $50,000, wear really fancy clothes, stand in front of all their friends, and swear to God and everybody that, oh my God, we're going to be together forever, half the time. Okay? So, half the time, they're absolutely lying. I would like your life to have a better chance of happiness than a coin flip. Okay? But actually, if you count all the relationships you've had, like boyfriends, girlfriends, not just permanent relationships, long-term ones, it's like 80-90% failure. Okay? So this whole going for your type or falling in love thing, has that been working for you? Can we do better than that? Now, if you're in play mode and if you want to have fun, no problem. Please go ahead and do that. But recognize that if you are looking for a relationship of depth and duration, then a different protocol is necessary. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right, fantastic, good. Any questions for this part, the selection part? Okay. Good, let's move along. So we said what you don't want, and we said how to ask the guy, what do you want? What is the kind of guy that you do want? And I talk about the good guy in my books and stuff. The good guy, that's trademark, capital G, good, capital G, guy. And it's different from the not so good guy, okay? The bad boy. So bad as opposed to good, and boy as opposed to guy. So you want to avoid bad boys. And bad boys, they're basically like donuts or other tasty but not very healthy snacks. They make for good snacks and dessert, but they don't make very good meals, right? If you were to eat donuts all day, every day, for 3 meals a day, you'd feel terrible after a while, okay? And that's how bad boys make you feel, terrible, and they can ruin your whole life. The way you spot a bad boy is mostly by spotting extremes of behavior, right? So, he's got the black motorcycle jacket, comes in the Harley into the restaurant. Wait, don't you want to park that outside? Okay, extreme behavior, right? It's cool, it's crazy. It's also a little bit nuts and extreme, okay? Or just extremely tidy house, or extremely orderly schedule, or extremely stylish appearance. Any kind of extreme is a tip-off that this could be a bad boy and therefore a colossal pain in the ass for you, okay? So the Tao is all about moderation. Taoism is all about the middle path. Actually, middle path is from Buddhism, but the Taoism also believes in that. So not too much of this, not too much of that, somewhere in the middle. What you do want is the good guy, and the good guy is the guy who has both heart and spine. So this is a very simple two-part classification of men. So heart, that's the front, it's this thing right here. It's compassion, it's warmth, it's kindness, it's the parenting function, being a father, right? Spine, it's this thing in the back, okay? That's the yang energy, that's the strength energy, right? If you have a guy who has all spine and no heart, I call that guy Biff. So Biff is like, hi, I throw you over shoulder, I take you to cave. attractive for maybe 5 minutes, but then it might get old. Okay. You got the guy who has all heart but no spine. Hello, I'm Hans. He actually called him Lance, right? Okay. And you can usually find him at yoga festivals, except for the guys in here. The guys in here are fantastic. They're awesome. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Sensitive new age guy. You've met him, you've dated him, you've probably been married him and divorced him already. Okay, good. So, who knows what I'm talking about? Who knows a Lance? A sensitive new age guy. Okay, good. And who has known or married or divorced a Biff? A man with all spine now. Okay, so what you want is Victor. Victor has both heart and spine. He can be kind and compassionate, but at the same time, when the shit hits the fan, he is ready. Oh, your daughter's head is bleeding. Let me come over and stitch it for you. Okay, so he is not afraid of things. He protects, he provides, he's there for you. Okay? So that's how you kind of look. And you kind of instantly know when a guy has heart and when a guy has spine. You don't have to look very hard, right? And that classification simplifies things significantly. And it also allows you to recognize a gem who may not be somebody you normally associate with. The other day I got a letter from a lady and she said, oh, you know, I'm this professional woman, I got a PhD, blah, blah. I met this guy and he's, you know, he's working class and, you know, he works in construction and he wears like oak overalls all the time, but he's really nice, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, he's got heart, he's got spine, he likes you, he's fun to talk to, where's the problem? You know, just he's wearing overalls. So sometimes you need to get out of your own head, you need to get out of your checklist to notice how a guy makes you feel, because that is the most important criteria, okay? From now on, the way you're gonna decide whether a guy is right for you is, does this person bring out the best in me? You instantly know who adds energy to your life and who takes away energy from your life. You instantly know who makes you feel more generous, funnier, happier, more enchanting, more excited, right? Certain people bring out the best in you. They're called your best friends. They're called your constant companions. They're called the people you seek out, right? If you have somebody who's like, oh, your head looks terrible today. Oh my God, where'd you get those shoes from? That's awful. Oh, why are you talking about that? That's boring. Talk about something. Why would you hang out with that person? That makes no sense, right? And yet people are in 20-year relationships with that person. So what you want to do is you want to select for the person who brings out the best in you, which brings up our next exercise. Exercise two. What I want you to do is write down 3 or 4 situations where you feel at your best. So where you feel most expansive, the happiest, the most joyous. When you feel like you're funny, you're generous, you're just, you know, the version of you that you really like. Because we have heaven and hell inside us. We have devils and angels inside us. It's all about context. Context brings it out. So what context brings out the best version of you? Okay? And when you have 3 or 4 of those places listed, look up so I know you're ready to go on. Where you feel absolutely fantastic. It could be a class, it could be when you're leading a workshop or a yoga class, it could be when you're cooking for people, it could be when you're throwing a party, any number of these things, but just imagine what those situations are. Okay, good. So I'm going to assume you guys are mostly, you have some ideas of what this is. And the purpose of this work that you're doing right now is to keep this forever and use it. These are tools. These are tools to change your entire life. You are trading in 90 minutes of your life, which you will never ever get back, right, with my teaching you something. So my job is to make sure you have something that can transform your life forever, not just make you feel good in the moment. And this is what that is. Knowing yourself a little bit better than you did before you walked in. Why is this important? Why is it important to know what these places are, these situations, these contexts? Because you want to know when you show up at your best, because that is when you are most attractive to the world. That is the situation in which you want to engineer meeting guys, if that's what you're interested in. And by the way, I say guys, because yeah, I'm assuming heteronormative relationships, but in any relationship, whether it's same-sex or opposite-sex relationship, one person is going to be the masculine pole and one person is going to be the feminine pole. So it still works out, and no matter what relationship you are. So you want to look at these places and make sure that's where you meet guys, because that's when you're at your best. And guess what? If they're there too, if they're at this situation too, they are going to be at their best too. Because context makes a difference. How many of you think, okay, ready to put your hands up again? Everybody put your hands up? Okay. How many of you think, put your hands up? Just, okay. If you think it's a brilliant idea to meet a guy at a bar, keep your hand up. Okay, so four people think it's a good idea. Okay. So that's a small percentage of the class. Okay, so a bar, by consensus, is not a great place to meet a guy because it's kind of random, right? There's no filter, it's kind of loud, people are drunk. There are better places to meet people, right? And a bar is loud and annoying and people are behaving poorly, so it's not a great place to meet. What if I told you there's a bar that instead of having 200 people had 20 million people? Would that be better? So it's like 100,000 times louder, 100,000 times ruder. Is that a better idea? Everybody say, hell no!
Hell no!
One more time, hell no!
Hell no!
Awesome. I had a group of Finnish women say, hell no, this is great. It's a terrible idea. And you know what that bar with 20 million people in it is called? The internet. So... The internet is just like a bar, only worse. People are at their absolute worst selves when they're online. They're anonymous, they can say whatever the hell they want, right? They can put a picture of anything, right? How many people have met people who didn't look like their pictures? Okay, that happens. How many of you have put up pictures of you that didn't look like you? Okay, huh? Gotcha. Okay, so, you know. In the 2002 version, okay. So, these things happen. People are at their worst online, which is why it's not a great idea to meet people online. Now, it's possible that some of you have met somebody that you really got along with online. That's great. But generally speaking, it's not a place that predisposes itself to good connection. What does predispose you to good connection is what I call the three C's. So, three C's. Number one is conversation friendliness, okay? A bar or a club is a terrible place to meet people because your job on a date is to get accurate information about the guy. And you don't get accurate information about a guy if you have techno thumping in the background at 120 beats a minute and 150 decibels. It just doesn't work, right? Hi, what's your name? What? Hi, what? Okay, that's not a great conversation, okay? You'll never get to the part about the penguins that you both love. So, number one is conversation friendliness. Number two is continuity. The way people get to know each other is the way they've been getting to know each other for the past 2 million years, which is in a casual context where you just happen to be there. Oh, hi, you just are sitting next to me on the bench here at a yoga festival. I'm Allie, what's your name?
Evelina,
nice to meet you. See, easy, casual. Now I walk by as if it's all totally normal and casual, and walk by again and say, hey, Evelina, how you doing? Okay, good to see you, okay? This is what happens at school. This is what happens at work. This is what happens in night classes that you take. You have these people who just show up somewhere, not specifically to see you, and then sit down and ask very important questions, and then make you pay for it in the form of dinner, right? But rather, in a context that's really casual, low pressure, okay? So, continuity allows you to see people over and over again. You create that, or it already exists, through work, through school, through night classes you take, through events. Like here, right? If you bump into someone on Friday, you just might bump into them again on Saturday and on Sunday. Take a class, take another class, continuity, right? Easy conversation. And finally, number three is community. Some reason that you're both there. So if you're both into penguins, and if you're at a penguin convention, boom! Oh my god, you already have so much in common. You talk about Adelie penguins, you talk about South Pole penguins, you talk about, you know, penguins that hate their eggs. I don't know, whatever it is you want to talk about penguins, you can totally penguin out together, right? Yoga festival, right? Great spot to meet another person. Yoga class. Now, I've noticed in the 19 years I've been doing yoga that there aren't a lot of guys doing yoga. The class breakdown is usually like 95-5. But you know what? Those five guys never get approached. You know why I know that? I'm that guy. I've never been approached by a woman after a yoga class because they're like, oh, I'm sweaty, I gotta go, bye. If you are that one woman who's like, hey, how you doing? Want to grab some tea next door? Because there's always some place that has tea next door. Or right there, right? Or you just sit there and talk for a few minutes, right? Don't worry about the fact that your makeup is runny or whatever. Just sit there and talk to the guy. Guess what? You can meet some pretty interesting guys who are already into the thing that you are into, which is called yoga and meditation and mindfulness and consciousness and all these great things, okay? And he may even be a victor for you. You never know. Okay, good. So the three things are, let's run through them again and have you repeat. So the first one was conversation friendliness. Say it all together, conversation friendliness.
Conversation friendliness.
Number two is continuity.
Continuity.
And number three is community.
Community.
Fantastic. Okay, so create those environments. One of the best ways to create that environment is to create it yourself. Make yourself the hub of the social universe. How do you do that? You throw parties. That's how you do that. Who likes to cook? I love cooking. I love throwing dinner parties. Okay, good. There's a really good book about this called The Art of Gathering. It's all about creating events where people like really connect on a deep level by this lady, Priya Parker. Amazing. So what you want to do is you want to create dinner parties. You want to make them interesting. You want to have rules. Like when you walk in, right? You say hi to people, but you can't ask where they're from. You can't ask what they're doing. What they do for a living. You can't ask how they know the host. Those are my three rules for my dinner parties, because then people have to ask more interesting questions. It's like, hi, where, no, what do you do? Oh, no. What's the last really cool book you read? Oh, now we have an interesting conversation, okay? So throw dinner parties, make yourself the hub of your own social universe. People say, oh, I don't know how to meet guys. Look, you're a miracle. You are Superwoman. Create the world you want to be in. You can do that. I give you permission. Totally allowed. Okay. So dinner parties are good. And just realize that you have the power to create the environment that allows you to shine and be the best version of you. And then it allows him to be the best version of him as well. And you get to meet the versions of each other that can catalyze each other's growth. So any questions for this part before I move on? Questions? I know it is not traditional in Finland to ask questions, but I encourage you to ask questions if you have them. Okay. Oh, we have a question. Yes, Valentine.
There is this common saying that don't shit in your backyard.
Uh-huh.
Talking about community.
Yeah.
Meeting some people.
Yes.
In the community and
yes.
Maybe try breaking up with them. What about that?
Okay. So. The question was, there's a certain expression that says, don't shit in your own backyard, because you meet people in your community, and then you break up, and then it's awkward, right? And my simple answer to that is, don't shit on people, right? All things in this world come to an end. So to be afraid of the end is to be afraid of death. And there's one thing that's going to liberate you in this life, it's to stop being afraid of death, because it's pretty much guaranteed. So... And everything else along the way is also going to die. So yes, that relationship is going to end. So reconcile yourself with that. And then realize, hey, if this person's going to pop up again in my life at this job, then maybe we should be nice to each other. Maybe we should have a nice breakup, not over text, right? Maybe we should treat each other like human beings. And then afterwards, you're fine. With most of my girlfriends, I'm still friends. You know, they're all on Facebook and they don't usually send me hate mail. So you can probably do that too. But notice the kind of language that's being used here, right? The expression is don't shit in your own backyard. Well, how about planting a seed in your own backyard, right? Because if you do it right, these people, even after you break up, they'll be your allies for life. As I travel around Europe, I still stay with my ex-girlfriends. Some of them are married, right? So imagine every person that you meet as a seed that you plant that can become a tree that nourishes you and everybody else, okay? Metaphors matter. The words that you use matter. Okay, good. Good question. Anything else before we move on? Okay, good. We have 20 more minutes and a lot of information, so I'm going to motor through this stuff. So one way... Yes, okay, good. So we did that exercise. And then I have another exercise, which may be the most important exercise of the day. So, who here thinks it's a good idea to be flabby? Okay. Who here thinks that's a good idea to be fit? Fit, okay, yoga festival, fit, that's good. I'd be very worried if you thought otherwise. So, fit is better than flabby and out of shape, yes? Okay, good. Who here thinks it's important to be mentally fit? Yes? Okay, good. So mentally fit better than mentally flabby, yes? So if you work out to get physically fit, what do you do to get mentally fit? And are you doing it right now? Let me propose that the thing that you do to become mentally fit is meditation. That is your mental training for fitness. Okay, so how do you do that? Now, this being a fabulous yoga festival, you people already have a jump on this. Many of you already have a meditation practice. In fact, how many of you have a regular meditation practice? Raise your hands. Fantastic, half the room, that's awesome. So, I would like to teach you the meditation technique that I've been using for 10, 15 years that has been very useful for me. When I started yoga, I said that the single most transformative practice that I've ever done is yoga. And now I say the single most transformative practice that I've ever done as an adult is meditation. Why? Because it's mental fitness. It allows you to show up as your best version of yourself all the time. Why? Because it gives you the number one skill that you need as an adult to succeed. And that skill is emotional self-regulation. That means the ability to think and feel independently of circumstance. Stuff happens, and it's just stuff, right? Trump shows up on the news. Okay, there it is. There's a picture of an ugly man. Big deal. Ship sinks across the planet. Very sad, but I don't have to get depressed, right? Why? Because you have the choice to be capable and responsive to things, or you can be crushed by life, okay? It's important to have compassion. It's important to feel, but it is not necessary for you to be crushed by life or be affected by it, right? You're walking down the street, you see somebody who looks like your ex, oh no, and suddenly the rest of your afternoon is ruined. Nope, you can't do that. Not allowed anymore. Emotional self-regulation. And the way you get that is you practice meditation regularly, right? If I am a personal trainer and I take you out on a good workout, after that, you might feel energized, you might feel a little sore, but will you be fit? Probably not. One workout will not make you fit. The way you become fit is by working out on a regular basis, all the time, every day. So let's do a 2-minute meditation right now. Put yourself in a comfortable seat. You can lie down if you want to, but with my incredibly soothing voice, you just might fall asleep. So make yourself nice and comfortable. And this is the Hung Sa meditation. It comes from the Tantric tradition. It also comes from the Self-Realization Fellowship yogic tradition. So a lot of different traditions use this meditation because it's so damn effective. Okay, so Hung Sa meditation gives you 3 points of focus. The first one is your breath. First, you focus on the sensation of air as it passes through your nostrils. Just that physical sensation. The second point of focus is to say hung on the inside as you breathe in, and then saw as you exhale. Breathe out. Hung in, saw out. Excellent. And the third point of focus is, with your eyes closed, you look up at your third eye center. The space in between your eyebrows. So you're looking at the back of your forehead. Your eyes turn up, and you look at the back of your forehead. And just that act of turning your eyes up and looking at your forehead actually shifts your brain into alpha wave pattern. That alone is enough to put you in a meditative state. And if you do all those 3 things, namely to pay attention to the feeling of breath, and to say hung on the inhale and saw on the exhale, and to also look at the third eye center, you will notice that it is impossible to have thoughts. Go ahead, try it. Try to have a thought as you do all those 3 things. You can do it. No thoughts. Thoughts gone. Which means that anytime you do have a thought coming in, it's because you forgot to do one of those things. So go right back to center and look up, pay attention to the breath, say hum sa, and notice thoughts be gone. Because the practice of meditation is not the practice of not having thoughts. It is the practice of dismissing them. And you do this 200 times in 20 minutes, thought gone, thought gone, thought gone. That means you're doing it 70,000 times in 1 year. You get very good at letting thoughts go. So we're going to do that for exactly 2 minutes now. Starting now, Hung Sa meditation. I will join you. And you say the Hung and the Sa on the inside. In breath hum, out breath sa. Eyes focus on the third eye center. And now I'm looking at 100 Buddhas in front of me. The face is all different, body's relaxed, the energy of the room is much more settled. And that's a powerful practice. And if you do that every day, it will change your life. If you don't already have a meditation practice, this is all it takes. No equipment necessary, no apps necessary. Start with 2 minutes. Add a minute every day until you're up to 20, and then do 20 minutes a day. If you want to do more, keep doing more. And there's an app for it too. It's called Calm. There's another one by Andy Puddicombe, Headspace. They both work if you want to start that way. However you can start meditation, go for it. Okay, good. Now I want to give you the most important part of the entire workshop for the ladies. So, we talked about your best self. We talked about you, the miracle. We talked about game theory. We talked about being the buyer rather than the seller, okay? I want to tell you about the 5,000 letters I've gotten in the past 9 years from women, okay? 5,000 letters from all over the world. Dr. Ali, I met a guy last week, went on a date, it was really good, we liked each other, but he hasn't called me since. What should I do? Dr. Ali, I've got this dress, I think it makes my butt look big, what should I do? Dr. Ali, any number of other things, what should I do? Now, every one of these sounds like it's different. Every one of these questions sounds like it's unique, but they're all the same question. 5,000 letters, every single one of them, the same question. And that question is, am I enough? He hasn't called me yet. Am I enough? Do I look good? Am I enough? I'm 45. Am I enough? I'm 22. Am I enough? There's always some excuse to not be enough. And ladies, that is not a game that you can ever win, right? Because you could have the perfect butt that fits in those perfect jeans, and tomorrow butt fashions and jean fashions can change. You can have the perfect hair, you can have the perfect job, and the next day you cannot have it. That is the power that can be taken away from you. Real power is the power that cannot ever be taken away from you. And that power is the power to elevate others and make them feel like a million euros, because we're in Europe. And saying $1 million is funny in Europe. So, you have the power to make somebody else's day. You have the power to be somebody's answered prayer. So think about the difference between am I enough and how can I be somebody's answered prayer today, okay? Nobody can take away that power from you. Nobody can take away the power for you to make somebody be appreciated. Appreciation is a gift you always have with you. And strangely enough, don't use that often, okay? When's the last time you gave somebody a compliment? Has it been more than a week, more than 2 weeks, more than a month? Start giving them already, okay? Go up to them and say, love your outfit. Oh my God, yoga teacher, that was an awesome class. Thank you for the adjustment. Thank you for sharing the apples with me, or whatever it is, right? Genuine appreciation. Do it often, do it early, do it all the time. As you do that, you grow in power, right? Because, especially when it comes to dating, men, everybody is starved for appreciation. Guys, they're like they're building pyramids and buildings just so you can say, wow, okay? So say, wow, appreciate them. Notice who they are, notice what they do, notice what their presence, their masculinity, you move that rock, that was amazing, okay? So if you are the woman who can make a guy feel like he's 10 meters tall, you now have a monopoly on men, because everybody else is too worried about looking needy. Everybody else is too worried about, am I enough? Whereas you are focused on them and focusing on making them become Superman. I have met 4 women in my life, exactly 4, who had that goddess power. And meeting them was like having this torrent of water just like washing over me, just intense appreciation in a way that they knew would hit my heart. It's like, wow, you did this and this, and I read your book and you said this, and I'm like, ooh, this is kind of amazing. Okay, good, right? There may be thousands of other women who had those same thoughts but never expressed it, but these women could. And actually, all of them were in their 50s, and one of them was married to like a billionaire, and I'm like, I see how she did that, okay? Because if she's with a billionaire, that billionaire has choice. He could be 60 or 70 and still like, you know, very young women who would be interested in him, right? So she had this power to keep him in her orbit because she gave him something he could not get anywhere else. You have that power right now. You have that power right now. You have that power right now. So use that power and notice what happens. And when you use that power, what happens is that you start to shape the behavior and the fate of men. You've heard that behind every great man is a great woman. And it's true. You can impel your man to greatness. I'm not saying you just start out with somebody who doesn't have any promise and, you know, does heroin, doesn't have a job. You still want to find the victor, right? But guys are kind of like dogs. They can be trained, right? I don't want you to become dog trainers. You should find somebody who's already far along. But know that through your power, you can help a man evolve. And that is the point of relationship after all. Someone say, oh, I don't want to teach a man anything, right? But no, we are teaching each other all the time, whether you like it or not. You're doing it at an unconscious level. I am noticing how you behave. I'm noticing the things that you say. I'm noticing the things that you do. I'm responding to that. Oh, she was judgmental about the fact that there was meat on my dish. Okay, I should consider becoming a vegetarian. Okay, vegan, that's going too far. That's crazy. But, you know, the point is we're constantly molding each other. So do it in a conscious way. Do it in a directed way such that you end up with the kind of relationship that you want that helps you grow. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Fantastic. So we've got 6 more minutes. What do I want to tell you? Okay. I'm going to give you some useful things that you should use. So we already talked about online dating and why it's not so great. And let's see. So we talked about when you go on a date, your job is to get accurate information from the guy, accurate and useful information from the guy. So when you are dating, when you're in the process of courtship, generally speaking, the guy wants to make things go as quickly as possible. It's called romance. And we could be good at it. It's like, oh, let me take you on a gondola and we'll have 6 bottles of Chianti and then you'll like me a lot. It's like, oh, yes, I will, right? Okay, so the guy's job, evolutionarily, is just like speed things up so he can basically get the seed in there and get the genes going, right? He's not thinking this way. It's just the way he's designed. Please don't blame him. But that's the way it is, okay? Women, their job is to prolong the courtship, because the longer you make it, the more likely it is that the guy is going to fall for you, the more likely it is that you'll get good information about him, the more likely it is that you'll stick around when you have the kids so the kids can keep going, okay? So your job is to prolong the courtship so you can get accurate information. There's a problem though, because when you use these little swipey apps, the courtship goes from 6 months to 0.6 seconds, okay? So these things get in the way. You're also commoditizing people, and people are not things. People are not apps. People are not objects you order on Amazon. People are miracles, like you. So unless you are accepting to be treated as a commodity yourself, which is exactly what happens on these apps, then you should not do that to other people. It is possible that you're landing in Barcelona and you want to have fun for a weekend, you want to find somebody, no problem, right? But you do not have donuts for meals. Don't do that, okay? Donuts are dessert, donuts are snacks. Do not make dessert your meal. These things are like dessert. They also rearrange your brains in a funny way, which we're not going to get into, but it actually changes the way your neurology works, okay? So meet people in context. Meet people through other people. Meet people through friends, through the dinner parties that you make. Meet them slowly and prolong the courtship as long as possible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. So let's see what else we got here. Five more minutes. The final topic I want to go over is unforced errors. Who plays tennis here? Tennis? Yes? So unforced errors is when, like, you know, the ball comes and you have a clear forehand and you go, boom, and it sails over the fence. And why did you do that? That was silly. You didn't have to do that. That was an unforced error, okay? So it's also called, in America, shooting yourself in the foot, because we have lots of guns and people do that. So do not shoot yourself in the foot. These are some ways that you shoot yourself in the foot. Number one, and by the way, I'm not saying that anybody in this room does that, but you may have heard of people who do things like this, like not returning emails and texts in a timely manner, okay? Text comes and you're like, oh, I'm going to make him wait because then he's going to like me more because I don't want to look needy, right? No. Texting should only be used for non-emotional communication, information only. Show up 7 o'clock, you know, downtown, so bar, great, okay. You do not discuss relationships. You do not discuss feelings. No feelings over text or email, okay? Let me hear you say that again. No feelings over text or email.
No feelings over text or email.
No emotional communication, because texts are how you lose friends. Talking is how you make friends, okay? So text and email, these are media for miscommunication, mistakes, misunderstanding. Yes?
I kind of disagree with this.
Okay, hold, I have 5 minutes, so we can talk about that afterwards. And please disagree with me, because that's how I learn stuff, okay? Good. And also just have the courtesy of responding in time. So many times, you know, I invite somebody to say, hey, I've got this amazing ticket to this thing that's happening tomorrow night. Would you like to come? Yes, no, maybe, hello, are you gonna respond? Something, right? So the other person is waiting, you actually matter. So respond in a timely manner, let people know where they stand, because that's how you want to be treated as well, right? Right. Not giving it a chance. Okay, so how many of you have been your perfect authentic self on a first date with someone? That's what I thought. Okay, me neither, okay? Nobody is their perfect authentic self, because it's awkward, it's strange, it's a new person, you're kind of like, shy. Okay, third date, second, fifth date, 10th date, maybe. But there are people who've been married for 10 years and still don't know the person they're married to. So it is possible that that first date was not representative of the guy that you just met and were interested in enough to go on a date with. So what I encourage you to do to have at least 3 meetings with the guy, if you're even 5% interested, okay? Even just a tiny amount. Unless he said something offensive like, you know, yeah, I like the club baby seals for fun. Okay, that's not cool, right? Don't have to deal with him. But if it was just like a small thing, you don't have context yet. You don't have enough information yet to know who this person is all about. Give him and yourself the benefit of the doubt. Okay. Overdependence on devices. So these gizmos are amazing and they're revolutionary. They created so much opportunity to connect with people all over the planet, all over the globe, halfway across, you know, town, but not the person in front of you because you're too busy going like this, okay? So what happens is when you are bored, you actually open up your social circuitry. That's what happens. And you start looking around, and you're like, oh, humans. Hello, humans. And you start to interact. You might say hi. You might have a chance meeting. How many love stories do you know that start, you see, and Marina were sitting at the park bench looking at their phones and nodded at each other. Okay, no love story starts that way. They always say they looked across the room and their eyes met, okay? So have your eyes meet. Look at people in the eye. Say hello to random strangers. I know that's really weird here, but try it anyway. It can be fun. Just strike up conversations. That's how you activate the machinery of serendipity, of luck, having the universe work for you, okay? So put your devices away, allow yourself to be bored, and look around at the universe around you, which is amazing. Okay, good. And let's see. This one's very important. Okay, so good topic to close with. So negative self-talk. So one thing I've learned doing this stuff for 10, 15 years is that nobody is walking down the street going, oh my God, I am gorgeous and brilliant and everybody loves me. It's more like, God, you fool, how could you forget to bring your notebook to the class? This is terrible. And that meeting went awful too. Oh my God, you're such an idiot. Okay, right? You don't need that voice to do that. There are enough forces out there in the world trying to beat you down. It does not need your assistance. So what I want you to do instead is exercise self-compassion. Self-compassion has three components. One, common humanity. Everybody has problems. Two, mindfulness. Feel the feeling. Don't go, oh, bad feeling, go away. Just like, oh, I don't feel good about that. I just dropped a vase and broke it. I feel bad. Okay, fine, I can feel bad. Which brings us to three, which is self-kindness, right? If an 8-year-old broke a vase, you wouldn't say, you fool, what the hell were you thinking? You're like, oh, it's okay. We'll just get another one from IKEA, right? It's just a vase, right? So be as nice to yourself, at least as you would be to an 8-year-old kid. Is that fair? Can we make that promise?
Yes.
All right, I promise to be as nice to myself. As I would be to an 8-year-old.
As I would
be to an 8-year-old. Be kind to your inner 8-year-old. So that is called self-compassion, and the selfcompassion.org is the website. Kristen Neff is the lady, and she's very cool. She's at the University of Texas. And by the way, all of you, please write to me. I am at Dr. Ali B, Dr. A-L-I-B, at taoofdating.com. So that's how you can reach me. And I will have this recording available for you, so you can listen to it again, you can take notes again, you can send it to your friends, you can do whatever you want. So send an email to Dr. Ali, D-R-A-L-I, at taoofdating.com. So to finish, I want to do a quick recap and also remind you of what's possible, okay? So when you look at your dating life, not just as something to bring a guy into your life so you're less alone, bring a guy into your life so, you know, people think you are now paired up and I have a boyfriend or somebody to call a husband, right? If you think of it as a spiritual practice, everything changes because you have one purpose in this world, and that is to give your gift. So just figure out what that gift is, first of all. And if you already know it, then make a point of associating only with those people who allow you to give more of that gift. Because when you do, that's when you make the world a much more beautiful place. And can anybody argue with that? I mean, your world, like, is that good? Is that a good idea? World beautiful place? You are a miracle. Every day that you're alive, everything that you do, you go to bed, you're not breathing, somebody breathes for you. You're not beating your heart, somebody does it for you. These are all miracles. And every day you're walking on earth is that miracle. The more you remind yourself of that, the more that allows you to only associate with other people who also see you as a miracle. And allows you to look into the eyes of other people and recognize the miracle in them. And then your whole world just becomes magical. And when you do that, and you come from that place of wanting to appreciate people and wanting to make them feel like $1 million, it doesn't matter if you're paired up or not. It doesn't matter if you have a relationship or not. You already feel fantastic. You glow. You are able to be the light because that's what the world needs from you, right? You as a source of light, you as a source of making everybody around you, everything around you, better. So go ahead and be that light and know that nobody can take that power away from you. That is your right, that is your privilege. And remember, you are a miracle. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you.